Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. March 8, 1899. We are all living on probation. Those who have passed into their graves have been tested and tried to see if they would realize their responsibility to serve God. This should be to us the most powerful of all motives. It should lead us to make every exertion to improve the privileges and opportunities provided for us, that we may understand how to use wisely the Lord's goods. It should lead us to keep brain, bone, muscle, and nerve in the most healthful condition, that our physical strength and mental clearness may make us faithful stewards. Selfish interest must ever be made subordinate, for if given room to act, it becomes a controlling power which contracts the intellect, hardens the heart, and weakens the moral power. Then disappointment comes. The man has divorced himself from God and sold himself to unworthy pursuits. He cannot be happy, for he cannot respect himself. He has lowered himself in his own estimation. He is an intellectual failure. Daniel was regarded by the Lord as a man because he was a steward who traded faithfully on his Lord's goods. He did not forget God, but placed himself in the channel of light, where he could commune with God in prayer. And we read that God gave Daniel and his fellows knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, dreamed a dream which none of his wise men could interpret. The secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, and we read, Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For then hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel 2, verse 20-23. Daniel did not stand before King Nebuchadnezzar to glorify human power, to dishonor God by failing to acknowledge his goodness. Had he not acknowledged God as the source of his wisdom, he would have been an unfaithful steward. Those who follow the example set by Daniel will connect with the Lord. They will consult him as a son consults a wise father. Not all human fathers possess wisdom, but God may always be trusted and depended on. With perfect assurance, we may commit the keeping of our souls to him as unto a faithful Creator. Did Daniel's faithful recognition of God before kings, princes, and statesmen detract from his influence? No. Read his firm, bold testimony, and then follow his example. Let the clear-cut testimony, like a sharp, two-edged sword, cut to the right and to the left. Make appeals that will bring foolish, wandering minds back to God. After Daniel had given Nebuchadnezzar God's warnings in regard to self-exaltation, he said to him, Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel 4, verse 27. Had the king heeded this counsel, the threatened evil might have been averted, but he went on with proud superiority, until his reason was taken from him, and he became as the beasts of the field. God allowed him to suffer 7 years of deplorable degradation, and then removed his chastening hand. Then the king acknowledged his wrong. At the end of the days, the record reads, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and whose ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Verses 34-37. Said the great apostle Paul, "Let a man so account of us as ministers of the kingdom of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, 2. Those who act a part in the work of God do good only because God is behind them, doing the work. Shall we then praise men and give thanks to man, neglecting to recognize God? If we do, God will not cooperate with us. When man puts himself first and God second, he shows that he is losing his wisdom and righteousness. All that is ever done toward restoring the moral image of God in man is done because God is the efficiency of the worker. Christ declares in his prayer to his Father, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." John 17, verse 3. Let every steward understand that, as he strives to advance the glory of God in our world, whether he stands before infidels or princes, he is to make God first and last and best in everything. The true Christian will realize that he has a right to his name only as he uplifts Christ with a steady, persevering, and ever-increasing force. No ambitious motive will chill his energy, for it comes from an inexhaustible source, the light of life. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. When we are faithful in making God known, our impulses will be under divine supervision, and we shall make steady growth, spiritually and intellectually. But when men enter into a confederacy to exalt men and have little to say of God, they are weakness itself. God will leave those who do not recognize him in every effort made to uplift humanity. It is Christ's power alone that can restore broken-down human machinery. Everywhere and in every place, let those around you see that you give God the glory. Let man be put in the shade. Let God appear as the only hope of the human race. Every man must rivet his building to the eternal rock, Christ Jesus. Then it will stand amid storm and tempest. God prepares the mind to recognize him who alone can help the striving, struggling soul. He will educate all who stand under his banner to be faithful stewards of his grace. Man cannot show greater weakness than by thinking he will find more acceptance in the sight of men if he leaves God out of his assemblies. God must stand the highest. The wisdom of the greatest man is foolishness with him. God has given to man immortal principles, to which every human power must one day bow. We have truth that has been given us in trust. The precious beams of this light are not to be hid under a bushel, but are to give light to all that are in the house. Truth, imperishable truth, is to be made prominent. Show those with whom you come in contact that the truth is of consequence with you. It means much to you to stand by principles which will live through the eternal ages. God has given every man talents, that his name may be exalted, not that man may be lauded and praised, honored and glorified, while the giver is left out of their counsels. All have been entrusted with God's gifts, from the lowest and most poverty-stricken to the highest and wealthiest who walk in haughty pride. To every man has been given physical, mental, and moral powers. Let none waste their God-given time in regrets that they have only one talent. Spend every moment in using the talents which you have. They are the Lord's to be returned to him. It is not your own property you are handling, but the Lord's. He will one day come to receive his own with usury. Fulfill faithfully your appointed stewardship that you may meet him in peace. Have we consecrated all our talents to God? We cannot be excused in withholding one from him. Reason is a precious gift. Do not abuse it, for God can remove it. The gift of speech is a valuable talent. Never despise or demerit this gift. Thank God for entrusting it to you. It is a precious gift to be sanctified, elevated, and ennobled. As a sacred trust, the voice should be used to honor God. It should never utter harsh, impure words or words of fault-finding. The gospel of Christ is to be proclaimed by the voice. With the talent of speech, we are to communicate the truth as we have opportunity. It should ever be used in God's service. But this talent is grievously abused. Words are spoken which do great harm. Christ declared, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Matthew 12, verse 36-37. Our means are a talent, which is to be placed in God's treasury to be invested in His cause. But many are robbing God in tithes and offerings. God says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." But ye say, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Malachi 3, verse 8-10. The ministers of Christ are in a special sense ministers of the mysteries of God. Are we as individuals searching the Word of God carefully and prayerfully, lest we shall depart from its precepts and requirements? The Lord will not look upon us with pleasure if we withhold anything, small or great, that should be returned to Him. If we desire to spend money to gratify our own inclinations, let us think of the good we might do with that money. Let us lay aside for the Master smaller and larger sums, that the work may be built up in new places. If we spend selfishly the means so much needed, the Lord does not, cannot, bless us with His commendation. As stewards of the grace of God, we are handling the Lord's money. It means much, very much to us, to be strengthened by His rich grace day by day, to be enabled to understand His will, to be found faithful in that which is least as well as that which is great. When this is our experience, the service of Christ will be a reality to us. God demands this of us, and before angels and men we should reveal our gratitude for what He has done for us. We should reflect back God's benevolence to us in praise and deeds of mercy. Read the 8th and 9th chapters of 2 Corinthians. These words show the impression made upon those for whom we work when we act as Christ would have acted in our place. "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God through your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10-15. Do all church members realize that all they have is given them to be used and improved? God keeps a faithful account with every human being in our world. When the day of reckoning comes, the faithful steward takes no credit to himself. "Thy pound," he says, "has gained other pounds." Luke 19, verse 16. He does not say, "My pound." He knows that without the entrusted gift, no increase could have been made. He feels that in faithfully discharging his stewardship, he has only done his duty. The capital was the Lord, and by his power, he was enabled to trade upon it successfully. His name only should be glorified. Without the entrusted capital, he knows that he would have been bankrupt for eternity. The approval of the Lord is received almost with surprise. It is so unexpected. But Christ says to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, verse 23. Are we, as members of the Lord's family, striving to be among the number who shall walk with him in white because he finds in them true obedience? The testimony of the one who strives earnestly for the crown of life may be, I study for eternity. His steady purpose will not only aid himself, but will help others to practice industry. The Lord will cooperate with the worker who puts his heart into his work, who walks in all humility of mind. Such a worker will work in the love and fear of God. A sense of the gratitude due to God will lead him to improve every opportunity for expressing his thanksgiving, which will be accepted as a testimony of loyalty. Faithfulness toward God in the discharge of every good work will bring God's blessings. As we show ourselves faithful in fulfilling our trust, our influence leads others to do likewise. They are filled with thanksgiving and praise to God as the one to whom praise is due. Those who are not with us in the faith are given a practical evidence of the power of the truth to sanctify the naturally selfish heart. God calls upon us to work for Him in a world of sin where men are given to idolatry. They have no thought of their obligation to their Creator. They act as though they had created themselves and their blessings. God bestows His bounties upon the evil and upon the good. He gives all sunshine and showers of rain. He carefully watches the seed put into the soil, that from it may spring the living germ. But very few have any realization of the blessings God bestows upon them from day to day. Still less do they realize the greatness of the gift of God's only begotten Son. If they only comprehended the sacrifice that was made in order that our world might be blessed with the light of truth, how many conversions would be made in a day? How many would rally round the standard of the Redeemer? By earnest, faithful work, the gospel is to be carried to regions beyond, to cities and towns, into the highways and byways. And as souls are converted, let all glory be given to God. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but he whom the Lord commendeth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 16-18. Earnest effort should be made to present before men and women the example that Christ has left them in His life of sacrifice. He laid aside His royal crown and kingly robe, and yielding up His high position as commander of the heavenly host, He clothed His divinity with humanity, and for our sake became poor, that we through His poverty might come into possession of eternal riches. Paul writes to Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Who will take these words into the inmost soul, and for Christ's sake, for their soul's sake, awaken to the perils that are threatening all who fail to find refuge in Christ?" The apostle continues, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Christ declares, "He that will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me." Those who have on the wedding garment, the robe of Christ's righteousness, will not question whether they should lift the cross and follow in the footsteps of the Savior. Willingly and cheerfully they will obey His commands. Souls are perishing out of Christ. How inconsistent, then, is all striving after position and wealth! How feeble are the motives which Satan may present, which selfishness and ambition can furnish, in comparison with the lessons which Christ has given in His Word! How worthless the reward the world offers beside that offered by our Heavenly Father! After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7, verse 9-17. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy words perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my words, and hast not denied my name. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3, verse 5, 8, 10-12. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verses 14 to 22. These words are being fulfilled today. Read and understand the revealed truth of God. A heavenly watcher marks our words and deportment, and reads the motives which prompt us to action. We have no time now to be idle and indifferent. We must strive to develop a Christian character. Our spiritual understanding must be cleansed, purified, sanctified, and ennobled. All are now taking sides. It is ours now to choose a blessing or a curse. Now is the time for us to purify the mind by obeying the truth. Christ is to be our example in all things. He alone had the power to reclaim important truth from the rubbish under which it had been buried, making it shine forth in its original loveliness. In his parables, in order that he might awaken interest and sympathy, he drew his illustrations from the things of nature. Plucking a lily in its glowing beauty, he said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Matthew 6, verse 28-29. In all his teaching, Christ sought to impress his hearers that all true knowledge leads heavenward, and that all nature's lessons, rightly understood and interpreted, are the lessons of the Creator. There is a great work to be done in our world, and Christian educators are needed. Men and women who are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These can enter cities and towns and plant the standard of truth, glorifying God by their humility and faith, by their faithful performance of every duty. In the work to be done in the Lord's vineyard, discouragements will come, but these may prove instructive to the worker, teaching him to wait patiently and endure trial nobly. Those who keep God's glory in view will not fail nor be discouraged. The Lord needs men who are true, who will not seek for promotion, but whose course of action is marked by self-sacrifice. The nature of our trust demands that self be lost in Christ, that in the daily life we seek to illustrate in the very best way possible the character of Christ. All sin, from the least to the greatest, may be overcome by the Holy Spirit's power. God desires us to lift up the Savior as one who has been crucified among us. We are to think and talk of Christ, praising and magnifying His name. As servants of God, we need to put away all self-importance and abide in Christ, taking not one jot or tittle of credit to ourselves. If we are abiding in Christ, we shall reveal Him in character. Thus we become channels through which God can communicate light. We are made workers together with God.